And I'm just really excited and really honored that we get to serve God in this way. After Kristen and I got married, we started praying together about where God would have us to go as missionaries. And we started praying about this country called Mozambique. Mozambique is in Southeast Africa. There's over 30 million people that live in Mozambique. 65% of the people in Mozambique are under the age of 25. It's a very young country, certainly a very needy country. As we went there, we were visiting with a missionary who'd been there for several years. And he told us, he said that really there are not a lot of missionaries that are here preaching the gospel in Mozambique. But he said, we've been praying for years that God would raise up more laborers. And I'm really excited to tell you, I don't know exactly, I don't understand the reason behind what God is doing or the why of all of it, but I really believe God wants to do something in Mozambique. Because if you look back in the last 15 years, maybe a few missionaries, and hardly any of them are still in Mozambique today. But I can tell you right now of maybe as upwards of close to 8 families that are interested or are on deputation headed to Mozambique. There's a reason that God's raising up laborers for Mozambique right now. I think God is about to do something very special in Mozambique. I think there must be some people in Mozambique that are praying and asking God for truth. And God's sending some laborers there to share the gospel with them. We were there with the missionary, and he took us around different places there in Mozambique, but we met a young man that had been saved in his ministry. And I want to tell you this story quickly before we get into the message this morning. This young man, his name is Elu. Elu, he had grown up in a very traditional Mozambican family. He began to share his testimony with us. He said that he had never been to church before, but they had this religion that they practiced called animism. Animism is the worship of spirits and the worship of your ancestors. So they would go to a witch doctor and they would make animal sacrifices and go through all these rituals so that they could have a good life, so they could have favor with these spirits and have a good life. But as Elu and his family began to examine what they were doing and the results of it, they saw that animism was not doing what it said. Animism wasn't giving them this good life that it promised. So they began searching and looking for something else. So they started going to a little church in Mozambique. And, you know, that sounds so exciting, but I'm really sad to tell you that this church that they went to was not a church that preached the gospel. It's really sad that, I mean, there are churches like that all over our world. I mean, there are probably churches even right here in this community that don't preach the gospel. It's so sad to see that reality. But here, they started going to this church. They didn't preach the gospel. The message that they preached was, if you are a good person, then you get to go to heaven. But that's not true. That's not what our Bible says. We know that. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. It's not what we do. It's what Christ has done for us. When He went to the cross and shed His blood and made a way for us to be saved, it's what He did. So here, Elu and his family, they didn't know that. So there they were. They were trying to earn their way into heaven. They were trying to do all these good things so they could have a chance. But they really didn't have a chance. But praise God, one day the missionary came to Mozambique and met Elu and invited him to church, began sharing the gospel with him. And Elu, for the first time in his life, heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Not very long after that, Elu got saved. He trusted Christ as his Savior. Praise God for that, Elu. He got excited about serving God. He began reading and studying his Bible. He began to go to church every time the doors were open. He began to be discipled by the missionary, and God was really working in Elu's life. When we were visiting Elu, he had just moved outside of the city. He and his young family were there, and he said he looked around and saw that there were no churches in his community that were preaching the gospel. So he said, we ought to do something about that. So he went out into his community and began inviting people to come to his house to study the Bible with him. And as he did that, it's amazing that people actually came to his house to study the Bible. People actually wanted to hear. People actually wanted to know. People were hearing the gospel. People were being saved. It got to the point that they had so many people coming that they had to do 2 Bible studies a week just so everybody could hear. It got to the point where they said, you know what? We really need our own place to meet and worship. So they got some property, began building a building, and now they have a place where they can meet. But then they said, but we really have another problem. Because now we have a place, but we don't really have a pastor that can lead us. We don't really have a pastor that can come and help us at our new church. So they began to pray that God would send them a pastor. And it's just amazing how God works, because God provided them a pastor. And his name is Eliud. The very same man that God saved years ago, that God excited about serving God, that began to be discipled and began to grow in his walk with Jesus Christ. The same man that got a burden for his own people and his own community, God called him to pastor that church. And the reason I tell you that story is because that's what we want to do when we get to Mozambique. Of course, we want to learn the language that they speak, which is Portuguese. And as soon as we do that and begin learning enough, we can start preaching the gospel. We can start sharing the gospel with people, inviting people to church. As we preach the gospel, we believe that the Bible works. We believe that the gospel works and people will be saved. Not because we're preaching the gospel, but because the gospel works and changes and saves souls. The gospel makes a difference. So as people get saved, we want to teach them to live for Jesus. We want to teach them God's word, disciple the people. And as we do, we believe that God will work in the hearts of some of those young men, just like he worked in Eliud's life, where they may say, hey, I believe God's calling me to preach. God's calling me into ministry. We want to start a Bible institute there, begin teaching and training these young men to preach the gospel. And it's our goal to plant churches all over the country of Mozambique, Africa, because that's really what they need. They need churches there that can preach and teach the truth, and they can reach their own people. I always think about Eliud and his family, that what if when they saw that their religion was worthless, and they began to search for the truth. What if they went to that little church there in Mozambique and it was one that did preach the truth? Because that's really what they need. As I already said, we've been on deputation now for a year and a half. God has really been bringing in our support. We're thankful for that. We're looking to move to Mozambique this January. If you would, please pray for us as we continue to travel. We have several meetings throughout the rest of the year. And pray for us that we would, you know, just have safety as we travel. And just pray that God would go before us into Mozambique. Begin preparing the hearts of the people there, that they'd be ready to hear the gospel when we get there and begin preaching to them. We've got prayer cards here in the back on our table. And we also have an email sign-up list if you'd like to get monthly updates on what God is doing in Mozambique. We'd be glad to keep you updated in that way. If you would, go ahead and open up your Bibles. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 5. I believe this is where God would have us today. Sorry, I just got a new Bible and it's confusing. Don't you know when you get a brand new Bible and you know things are on a certain page, but then they're not? But go to the book of Matthew. Chapter number 5. I'm sorry. Chapter number 5. And we're going to read a very familiar passage, and we'll pray, and we'll get into this text this morning. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 14. The Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, your many blessings. We thank you for being so good to us and all that you've done. Lord, we thank you for your word and your truth. We ask that you'd help us today, that we would faithfully preach your word and your truth to your people, that we'd be honoring and pleasing to you and a blessing to them. And we'll be sure to give you the thanks and the praise for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look in this passage, I want to tell you just another quick story. I was in Mozambique this past January, And we'd been told that there are very few churches in Mozambique that preach the gospel. Which, you know, that's really, if that's true, that's really sad. I tell you that I really believe it is true. But we wanted to find out for ourselves. Me and the few men that were there, we got in a car. We began driving through some of the neighborhoods in the streets of Mozambique. And we got stuck once in the sand. It's kind of a funny story. But we won't talk about that too much this morning. But as we're going back through there, we're just looking for churches. Are there churches here that really preach the gospel? We saw several churches. But we finally found one that was a Baptist church. And we pulled up and went inside. And the pastor was actually there. We began speaking with him. He spoke English. So we were able to really get an idea of really what he believed. And praise God, we found a man that really believed exactly what we believe. He really believed the Bible and was preaching salvation the same way that we believe it, according to God's word. And that was really exciting to see. And as we talked to this man, we asked him, I said, well, where are the other churches that are preaching the truth? Where are the other churches that are preaching correct doctrine? And he said that he knew of one church just maybe a mile or so down the road. But besides that, that was it for their entire side of the city. The capital city there in Mozambique has over 3 million people that live in it. And he said there's only two churches that we know of right here in this area. But certainly we need at least a minimum of 10 more churches that preach the truth right here. And that was just one small part of the city. As we left there, we were driving through, and we drove through an area where it was like a marketplace area where there were thousands and thousands of people. It was just like a swarm of people that were there, and began to think of how little gospel witness that they really have. And that how they're busy, they're going out and about, and they're doing all these things, and they really seem like they're living great lives. But when it comes down to it, they're really just living in darkness. Darkness because they've never found Jesus Christ as their Savior. Darkness because they have so little light of the gospel in their own city. As I was thinking about that, I thought about these scriptures and these verses where Jesus is speaking to the people and he's really exhorting them and telling them about how important it is to be a light to the world, being a light so others can see Jesus Christ, so others can see the gospel. And if it was an important topic in this day, certainly it's something that we need to talk about today. Certainly this world, it just seems to be getting darker and darker all the time. You look on the news and it's terrible. You look down the streets, you look in the major cities, even in America, and it's just a dark place. It's getting darker all the time. And certainly there's a great need right now for some Christians to be a light for Jesus Christ. Certainly there's great needs for our churches right now to be a lighthouse in their own communities for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder, is our light making a difference in this world today? Are we being the light that God has intended for us to be? What are we doing with the light that we've been given? Could we be a greater light for Jesus Christ today? When we think about being a light for Jesus, number one, if we're going to be a light for Jesus, we have to realize that Jesus Christ is the source of the light. We can't create it for ourselves. We can't manufacture it on our own. The source of the light is Jesus Christ. In John chapter number 1, the Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. There was John the Baptist. In his ministry, he said, hey, I'm not the light. I'm simply come to bear witness of the light, who is Jesus Christ. That's what he was there to do. That was what his purpose was. Because John, he was not the source. Jesus Christ was the source. We're never going to be a light for Jesus if we've never experienced Jesus for ourselves, if we've never been saved ourselves. If you've never been saved, you're not going to be able to be a light for Jesus Christ. Hey, maybe you're here today and maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe never gotten forgiveness of your sins. Well, today would be a great day to get all that settled. Today would be a great day to come to this altar, come to a pastor, and just say, hey, I'm lost, and I'd like to get saved. We could open up God's Word and show you what the Bible says and how you can have forgiveness of sins and know that you have a home in heaven one day. That would be a great thing. You can't be a light for Jesus if Jesus Christ is not your Savior. Praise God that we have access to the light through Him. Paul, in Acts chapter 26, he's given the testimony. He's really sharing what Jesus Christ is really doing in this world, his purpose. In Acts chapter number 26 and verse 18, the Bible says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's what Jesus Christ has really come to do, to take people from darkness to light, to take people from the power of Satan unto the power of God, to take people from the bondage of their sin to forgiveness of sins, to take them unto His sanctification. That's what Jesus Christ has come to do. I wonder, do you have this light? Are you saved today? And if you are, what are you doing with the light that you've been given? What are you doing with the light you've been given today? Number two, if we're going to think about the light, not only do we need to realize that the source of the light is Jesus, but secondly, we need to think about the operation of the light. What do you do with your light today? What do you do with it? Look in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 15. The Bible says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. We read this verse and we really see two options here. It says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. So we could either take our candle and we could hide it away, or we could put it up on a candlestick. And it says, "What? And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." So it's a display unto others. What are you doing with the light that you've been given? Do you hide it away? Do you hide it away so other people can't see? Why would we do that? It's really not an option. Yes, there's two choices there, but the reality is if we hide the light away, then there are real people in our world today that will not see the gospel, that will not hear the gospel, will not even know. Maybe we hide the light because we're afraid. Maybe we fear what people might think about us. Maybe we hide it because we're ashamed for some reason. Maybe we hide it because we doubt that God can really use us to be a light. Well, I promise you, He can. He can use any one of us today. Maybe we hide it because we're selfish. Maybe we hide it because we're comfortable. Maybe we hide it because of convenience. I don't know why we hide it today. You know, I'm going to tell you a quick story. Several years ago, well, a lot of years ago, my mom, she was maybe in her early 20s, she was working at a grocery store. And they were having Friends Day the coming Sunday at her church. So she invited every single person that came through her line to be her friend at church on Sunday. And to me, I think that's kind of an amazing thing because people, I mean, you might get fired if you do that at your job. I'm not telling you to get fired from your job. But I'm telling you that she inconvenienced herself on that day when she was in her younger years to be a light for Jesus. Well, I like the story because there was a man that came through the line. And he had not been to church in years. He was living out in the world. He wasn't living a godly life at all. He was lost. But when he heard this invitation to church, first he thought, wow, that was really weird. Why would somebody invite me to church? But secondly, he thought, wow, I think I might go because that girl was really pretty. Well, long story short, he went to church and he ended up getting saved. Praise God. And years later, that man and that lady started dating. They got married and they're my parents. It's just, you know, I tell that story because I think it's a great testimony of my mom just decided that she was going to maybe inconvenience herself, maybe put herself in maybe in an uncomfortable position in order to be a light. And God really used that. God really made a difference. God saved my dad's soul. And now God's using me to go to Mozambique to be a light to those people. I wonder, why are we hiding the light? I mean, there could be stories like that all over our churches today, all over our world today, if we would just be a light for Him. What are you doing with the light that you've been given? This world's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better, but we have an opportunity that we can do something with the light that we've been given. What are you doing with the light today? Does your light so shine? Number three, let's look in Matthew chapter number 5 again. Look at verse number 16. I want to think about the visibility of the light. What does this world really see? Look what the Bible says in verse number 16. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The passage is very clear. It says, basically, if you have a light, then you should let your light so shine before men, before other people, before people in this world. You know, we're a great light in our car on the way to work, where we're listening to our Bible, or we're listening to some good Christian music or those things. We're praying. But as soon as we get out of that car, it's different. Are we allowing the light to shine through us? Are other people seeing the light through us today? What's this lost and dying world going to see if they don't see one of us being a light for Jesus Christ? What are they going to see? If you look over in, if you turn your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, I'm going to read this passage for you in just a moment, but I want to tell you a story again. I'm kind of full of stories. That's okay. As long as they're good stories, you can tell me afterwards. There's a place in Tennessee, you may have heard of it before, it's called the Lost Sea. Just a place kind of in the middle of nowhere in Tennessee. But it's a giant cave. And you can go down into this cave, and when you go in there's actually a pretty good-sized body of water in this cave. And you can get on a boat. The tour guide will take you on a boat. You can go across the water. And it's a really cool experience. But I was there a few years ago, and we're on this boat, and we're going across the water, and our tour guide said something, and I almost wanted to jump out the boat. He said, "Okay, we're going to do something that you probably never experienced before. We're going to turn these lights out down here. And probably for the first time in your life, you're going to experience something called total darkness." And I was scared. This man, he knows. I was real scared. But they turned the light off. And it was more than just not being able to see. It almost felt heavy. It was a very strange feeling. If I put my hand in front of my face, I couldn't see anything. My eyes are as big as they can get. I'm searching for some kind of light so I can see something. And it was completely dark. You couldn't see anything. I was praying, "Lord, please let these lights come back on." You know, praise God they did. They turned the lights back on. We made it across. We made it out of there safely. But this tour guide said something I'll never forget. He said, "All the creatures that live down in this cave, they've lived in this total darkness for so long that they've lost their ability to see. So all the fish that are down in the water are totally blind. The creatures walking on the walls, spiders and all that, totally blind because they lived in that total darkness for so long." I thought how profound that was when you look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." It's amazing to see that the devil wants this world to stay in total darkness. Because if he can keep everyone in total darkness, then he can keep them blind. He can keep people from coming to the light of the gospel. He can keep people from being saved. If we are not a light for Jesus, what's this world going to see? They're just going to be blind. But if we would just be a light for Jesus Christ, the Bible says here, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, it doesn't take very much light to make a great difference. One little tiny light in that cave could save all those creatures from losing their vision, from losing their eyesight. Could we be a little light today? Could we be a little bit of a greater light than we are today? Could we grow? I believe there's a lost and dying world that's living in total darkness, and they simply need just a little light of the gospel. And we can be that light. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That's what we need. Simply that we, in the middle of this crooked and perverse world that we live in, that we could simply be a light for Jesus Christ. How much of a light are you today? What does this world see? What does this world see in us? What's this world see in you? Often, it's sad to say, but I think often this world sees Christians that are just too busy to do anything for God. I see a world that sees Christians that don't really make God a priority. Maybe they see Christians that don't really believe in a place called hell. Because if we did, we might share the gospel with somebody. Christians that really love this world more than they love God. I wonder what does this world see in us today. I wonder if you would let your light so shine in this world. Last thing, and we're done. Look in verse number 16. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, there's a purpose to the light. Certainly the purpose is that so others would see and that they may be saved. Certainly that's a great purpose. But in the end, the great purpose of the light is that God would get all of the glory for everything that we do. That it's not for our glory, not so that we could be put up on a pedestal, not so that we can maybe even be that candle that's on the candlestick, but that God would get all of the glory for everything. It's not so that we can be exalted, but so that we can exalt Jesus Christ. I wonder who gets the glory by your life. If you had shined today, would you shine so you could have more prestige, or would you shine so Jesus Christ could be magnified through you? Well, hey, what is this world going to see if they don't see the light of the gospel from one of us? They're gonna get plenty from this world. They're gonna get plenty from the world around us today. They're gonna get plenty from them, but would they get the gospel of Jesus Christ from one of us being a light for him? I wonder, does your light shine in your home today as it should? Does your light shine in your work or in your school? Does your light shine in your community? How about in the world that you live in today? We need more light. As simple as that. We need more light. And we can be a greater light for Jesus. I wonder, would you be a greater light for Jesus Christ today? Let's pray together.